This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Extra Point with knowledgeable analysts and exclusive special guests. It's your look at the world of sports through the eyes of Place to Be Nation. And now your hosts, Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, George Ribolino.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 12. We are at the Dirty Dozen of your home for all traditional sports talk. It is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo. We have a very inventive show this evening, and we'll explain why later on in the program. But let's dive right in because we got a lot to talk about. Let me bring in my compadre, who for the first time, I think since I've known him, we've gone into Brooklyn and didn't eat Italian food. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the doctor, Dr. G. Hey. I mean, I know every time we've gone into the Golden Borough, we've not had Spumoni Gardens every time, but we usually have had Italian every time.
That is true, but you know what? Just like Italian food is the best in Brooklyn, so is Chinese food. I don't know what it is, but it is. It's just the best. So
pretty good stuff. We had some good Chinese last night.
We had a great time yesterday, and I know we got a lot to talk about. It's been a busy sports world, especially in the in Major League Baseball.
Well, of course. And we also have breaking news. Rory McIlroy just won the PGA Championship. He held off lefty, two of my favorite golfers, actually, Phil Mickelson and Dickie Fowler. And I love, you know, I I'm not a diehard golf fan. I like watching it and I don't mind it. But one of my favorite names of a course is the one in Louisville where the PGA was this weekend. It's called
Valhalla.
And I just like the name of that. Sounds like a cool late 90s WWF jobber.
So,
kind of like Brockus, you know?
You always got to get that wrestling in there. Yep, but I got to ask you. So now, would we, you know, you're not a big golf fan. Would you be talking that on an untraditional sports talk show?
I don't know if the guy smoking Stogues in the sports lounge would talk golf. Probably not. I don't know if Jeff Machado would talk golf.
Traditional, I don't know. I was trying to figure that one out. But anyway.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, traditional in the sense that we're typical, you know, we argue and we don't chomp stats. We're not those kind of guys. Our good friends over at the Sports Lounge down the hall, they're the number chumpers and the alternative thinking when it comes to sports. And they're great guys. They're a little different than us, but that's why we're two great sports shows here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network. We're a little more kind of straight up sports talk. They're a little different, but they're fun, just like us. Yes, and of course Tony Stewart on Saturday. Oh, how terrible that was, huh? Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Ran over a guy, a fellow driver up in upstate New York by accident, of course. His car broke down and he was trying to do something. I don't know. He like ran in the middle of the road or I don't know what the hell happened, but we'll get more into that as time progresses. But let's dive right into baseball because we got a lot to talk about and a few reasons. And why don't we bring him in right now? We usually don't have a guest in segment one, but because we have such an unusual rest of the show, we want to bring in our man now. He is a consistent contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com. He is a journalist. He's a broadcast journalist. Even though there really is only one, and that's Bobby Heenan. Oh, this guy's slightly better than that. And, of course, he is our exclusive baseball analyst, Mr. Joel Barnhart. Now, Joel, when you do go to work, though, you do have a sequin jacket, though, right?
Oh, every day of the week, man. Every day.
Of course.
I do have to say nobody's better than the brain, but thank you. I appreciate it. But
good to have you on, as always.
Good to be here. Good
we got a lot to talk about
again.
since we were last on. Obviously, the trading deadline passed, and we had some huge trades, a couple involving your team and the Oakland A's, who pretty much right now are the perceived front runners in the American League now, with the trades they made. But let's talk about this situation with Biogenesis. Apparently, ESPN has this report, and they have more names. They're not going to release them. Apparently they're not as juicy as like the Mitchell report was, but there are a few names on there. Let me ask you, first question. Should we even give a crap anymore? At this point?
No. I mean, it's news for the sake of news. It's you know, ESPN and all those big names just kind of, you know, spinning their wheels. If they wanted to make a big deal out of this and release it, they would have already released it. I don't know what they're waiting around for and playing around with it for. But I think we're past the point of caring. I mean, we're at a point in baseball where, you know, pitching's up, offense is down. Half the you know, writers out there want to, you know, it's weird. They're saying, oh, there's no more offense. I know, let's bring back steroids. Let's raise the mound. Let's do all these ridiculous things. And, you know, just enjoy the game for what it is. It goes in cycles. It'll shift back to offense in another 10, 15 years. But
right.
But no, we do not. I mean, especially if they're already saying the names aren't big names. And, you know, I don't think they would be. I think the generation that's been busted already, that's been named, is enough. And yeah, I don't see it being newsworthy unless the only way it would be newsworthy, Scott, and it's if it included a Hall of Famer or Hall of Fame caliber player. And it doesn't sound like that's going to happen this time around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that when it comes to baseball right now, every time they seem to want to move past this, something else comes out. I'm hearing, like everybody else, is that, you know, there's not any big names, but it just, at least now we're past the Hall of Fame inductions and all that stuff. But it's just, you know, right now baseball's in the thick of things, and just to have this thing come out and this black eye again, it's just like they can't move past it. And you're right, the offense is down, and it's amazing. It's just because it just seems like full teams sometimes, it just seems like nobody could get a hit. It's like watching, you know, and of course we've gotten used to all these, you know, gaudy numbers in the last, you know, 20 years or so. I think baseball is trying to move on. I think they definitely have better testing. They're trying to, you know, to clean up the sport, but it's just every time you think you move past it, something else comes about.
Yep, absolutely. But and just kind of piggybacking on that point, George, I think the only people that will care are the honestly, I think it's just the casual fans that will care. And that's who ESPN caters to. They don't cater to the hardcore fans. They don't cater to the to the ones who really love the game of baseball the way that, you know, the three of us and the Sports Lounge guys do, for example. ESPN caters to the casual fan who just flips on the game, you know, just for background noise, and those are the ones who are going to care. And you know, it's not going to hurt the core of baseball, I don't think, especially if the names aren't big. I mean, nobody cares if, you know, Denard Span or Ben Revere, whoever gets busted, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a couple of names that are rumored, because their numbers seem to be a little gaudier than they usually are, is Neil Walker for the Pirates. What's he got, like 19 home runs? Would that guy have like three in a average per season? And you even mentioned this, Dr. G. Even a guy like Brett Gardner. How many has he got this year?
15. Yeah,
15? And what's he usually get, like six?
Not even. Something like 5-6 maybe, I guess. Yeah.
So we're talking about guys who, you know,
mid-level guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel anything's going to come out of this in terms of names being released, Joel? Or you think this is just going to kind of fizzle?
I think it's mostly going to be a fizzle. It doesn't sound like there's any big names coming. And you know as well as I do that if ESPN was holding back big names, they would tell you. They would say, we've got big names coming. You know, they would hype it.
Right, because they want to be the first to break the story.
Exactly. And because they're not doing that, I just can't see, you know, anybody beyond, like, you know, Neil Walker, Brett Gardner, you know, those types being named in it. And, yeah, I'm just looking at Walker out of curiosity, seeing how many he hit last year. I mean, it's not all about home runs. Oh, well, yeah, he's got – here's his home run totals, 12, 12, 14, 16, and 16 this year. So he's actually not too far out of line with his career numbers, really.
Yeah, but I mean, he'll obviously end up with more. I mean, he's got a couple months left than he has average, but I guess that's not too bad. Somebody mentioned Neil Walker to me, and I hadn't thought of his numbers at first, and I'm thinking, oh, it's a guy that, you know, power-wise, really never talked about.
No. Right, I mean, HGH is the big one that a lot of people, it's not just because they want to be bulky and they want to be big. It's try to come back from injuries quicker. So it just depends on that's, I guess now that's why we call it more PEDs rather than just steroids, because there's so much stuff out there. And it's just a matter of what everybody's motivation is. But if it's, I agree with Joel, if it was something big, ESPN, you know how they are, they'll be pumping it up, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. So
I agree.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question really quick before we move on.
That's not how this works, Joel.
No, I'm just Scott.
No, go ahead.
You can
yell at it relates to what George just said. Back in when the Biogenesis Mitchell report, when that stuff first broke, I was talking to a buddy of mine about Mark McGwire, and a buddy of mine said, if he had just come out, this was way before he apologized, way before that. He said, if he had just come out and said, I love baseball and I was frustrated by getting hurt all the time and I just wanted to get on the field and play. If he had said that at that time, what do you think the reaction to him would have been? Would he still have been the pariah that he's become, or do you think it would have been different?
Well, go ahead, G, you go first.
No, go ahead.
I was about to say, for me, it's all about the record. Had he just had a great season, then and said that, was like, all right, whatever. But the fact that he broke a cherished record, and not just for Yankee fans, but for baseball fans in general, 61 home runs, that's a big deal. See, the Major League Baseball is not like the NFL. No one gives a crap about stats in the NFL.
Right.
In the NFL, the only stats that count are quarterback stats. And the sack record. Those are the only ones that really matter. But baseball, it's all numbers. And breaking a sacred, and then it got broken by an even bigger scumbag after that. And I think that's why people get frustrated with A-Rod and got frustrated. Not frustrated with A-Rod for what happened, because he easily should have broken the record. And then Junior, who I don't think ever cheated. But he was a guy that I think everybody would have loved to have seen break it, because he was just such a likable guy.
Right.
And his body broke down. So I think the record is the problem, Joel. I think if McGwire had 60 and said, I'm sorry, maybe they'd have gotten away with it. But then what? Does he say, I don't want this record, please expunge my stats? No, of course he wasn't going to say that.
No.
Well, I think what Joel, you're trying to say, I don't think that in terms of breaking the record, people may have not moved past that. They would have said, but I think what you're trying to say is would he be not loved, but would he have been forgiven? Look at like Jason Giambi or even Andy Pettit. Those guys, they didn't break any records or anything like that, but because they were good guys, they were always good with the fans, always, they just good. Mm-hmm. Their teammates loved them. Not to say that teammates didn't love Mark McGwire, but I think that in terms of how McGwire was perceived, because he kept denying it and then came out, and that's why he's become so hated. Say, Barry Bonds is just a bad guy, just a nasty person that people never forgave him, except for maybe the people in San Francisco, but the rest of the Major League Baseball fans. So I think it's just I think sometimes it's the personality you're dealing with. It's the situation in terms of how they dealt with it. I think if McGwire came out originally, like you were saying, you were talking to somebody else about, I think that people might have not, they may have not still acknowledged his record, but I don't think he would have had, people would have had that hatred towards him like they do now.
Yeah, that's kind of what we came to the conclusion of as well, was that, we hadn't really thought about the record, which is a great point, but we had kind of felt like, maybe they would have gone easier on him, but as long as he had that record, he would have been
look at David Ortiz. That's a big one for me. again, a lot of people, teammates love him. I guess the press loves him up in Boston. But it just seems like that got kind of swept under the rug. And I mean, he still vehemently denies it.
Yeah.
But there's speculations he was named in certain places. Whether it's true or not, you know, again, unfortunately, with this, it seems like once your name is mentioned somewhere, you're kind of, you know, scarred by it. But what do you think about the Dave Ortiz thing? It just seems like that got swept under the rug for whatever reason. I know it was kind of around the same time with A-Rod, and, you know, A-Rod just, you know, like we always call him the lightning rod, you know, which I'm ready to move on from him. I've been ready to move on from him. But why do you think that why Ortiz, it just seems like they just kind of brushed that under the rug for whatever reason?
Well, I'll make this quick because I didn't mean to derail things too much.
No, this is good. No, this is good. Go ahead.
You know, with Ortiz, I think you're right, George. It got swept under the rug, I think, because I think it has a lot to do with what happened in 04, what happened in 07 when Boston, you know, broke the curse and won a second one. And there was all that goodwill, and Ortiz was such a centerpiece of it. And, you know, people kind of took him as Big Poppy, this lovable, big, gregarious, just, you know, fun-loving guy. And I think perception has a lot to do with it. You know, we talked about how McGuire, you know, doesn't seem like a really bad guy, but he seems very introverted. Bonds, Clemens, they seem like complete jerks. Pettit, Giambi, they, you know, Pettit's very introverted. And I think that just Ortiz being outgoing but also fun-loving is the big difference. I think he's more, I think people, when they want to accuse him of something, it doesn't come off well because they, you know, they just comes off like they're accusing their, you know, their fun loving uncle or their, you know, their best friend who just, they would have a beer with or something.
Right. Just, I mean, I guess
it's personality.
I guess, you know, Ortiz, I guess Giambi and Pettit, let's just use those, for instance. The fans did get past it with those two. I guess with but they also, I guess, in their own ways came out and admitted their what happened, whether they were forced to or whatever the circumstances where they came out about it. But Ortiz still vehemently denies it, but there is some connection there. So I guess that's the weird part of it for me, is like he's kind of – it's still kind of swept under the rug. And it's going to be interesting because he's obviously had a great career. His numbers are borderline Hall of Fame. It should be interesting. Do you think he's going to get that edge of being one of those guys that actually had the – you know, years down the line, whatever it's going to be from how many years from now, and I don't know how long his career is going to go. Do you think that he would actually be considered for the Hall of Fame and might actually make it in?
I think that any evidence that's here now, I feel like is not enough to really throw the hammer at him. And I think that because he's been a postseason hero and he's got kind of that halo legacy that we tend to attach to players in that situation, I think he'll be more than considered. I don't know if he gets in, but I think he's going to be surprising with the amount of support he gets when it comes down to it. I wouldn't bet on him getting in, but I wouldn't be surprised if he stays on the ballot longer than some other more deserving players.
Right. Now, we would talk about the last show because I was around the time of the inductions. What do you think about Craig Biggio? Me anywhere? Nothing. And he's got 3,000 hits. That used to be the magic number. You know, what do you think about that? I mean,
to me, Biggio and Bagwell both should already be in the Hall of Fame. There's no question in my mind. I feel like they played the game very hard every day. The only connection that they have to steroids is, they played with Ken Caminiti, and he was one of the guys who kickstarted all of this. So they must
be by association.
Yes, and there's nothing else to convict them. Absolutely zero. And to me, it's just, you know, they're smart not to come out and say anything, because I think a lot of people would probably jump on them, which is stupid, but I don't know, maybe they should speak up, because look what it did for Frank Thomas. I mean, that you can't tell me that didn't help him a little bit.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, I thought that Frank Thomas was going to have more trouble getting in than he did. I have to be honest, just because of the era that he played in. And, you know, it was refreshing to see that he made it in. I just think it's a shame. I mean, I would probably put Biggio in over Babcock because of the 3,000 hits, because that's like a number in baseball. But it's kind of,
the doctor's kind of breaking up there. I think Biggio belongs in the Hall simply for longevity. I mean, look, let's be honest. Eventually, it's kind of, I mean, in a sad way, it's, I hate to compare the two, but it's kind of like the WWE Hall of Fame. Eventually, you just run out of the real, real, real good guys, and then you're kind of stuck with the, you know, Cocos of the world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've talked about, I was on the, we had my brother on the last, our last episode. We were talking about, I mean, next year's class, Joel, we've got Randy Johnson. We've got Pedro.
And John Smoltz.
And John Smoltz. Are they all gimmies? Randy Johnson's a gimme.
I think they all are. I do. I mean, if I had to rank them, I'd go Johnson 1, Pedro 2, Smoltz 3.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think they're all gimmies. I think that because of the steroid era, inflating offense,
mm-hmm.
I think that the Hall of Fame over the next few years is probably going to be more kind to pitching. I mean, any way you look at it, Johnson was a great pitcher over the 90s and early part of the 2000s.
Right.
Pedro, I mean, there's arguments that he is the greatest pitcher of all time, and that his 99 and 2000 are the greatest pitching seasons of all time. And, you know, I think there's some merit to that. You know, he wouldn't be my number one, but
no.
That's because I'm a history nerd and I would go with like Walter Johnson or something. But Pedro is just too damn good not to get in. And Smoltz, I mean, I could see some people, you know, kind of looking at the closer thing, and, you know, closers are kind of overrated, in some eyes, you know, especially mine, because I don't even want to talk about Joe Nathan anymore, but
we're going to talk about you guys in a minute, but
yeah, but you know, the game of baseball in the last 10, 15 years, the closer has become more of an important position. Relievers, I mean, especially now, I mean,
yeah,
it's, I mean, the bullpen, you know, you used to say, oh, let's get into the team's bullpen. Now the pitching these days.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah,
because
that's a point about the bullpen, George, that I wanted to kind of, when we talk about trades and price, that's a kind of the main reason I think that deal got made. So, yeah, definitely.
All right, I tell you, you talk about this stuff for ages, because, yeah, you know, we were getting into last time with the Hall of Fame and who you think should be in and who, you know, who's on borderline. I mean, it's just it's a very interesting conversation, and everybody has a different opinion on it. And I think that's why we're seeing what we see, you know, each year when it comes to the Hall of Fame voting.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's delve into modern day while we have some time, and the standings as we speak. The only game going on at the moment, I think the ESPN game, is Nats Braves. So as of right now, we'll go to the American League first, and you're in a dogfight there, Mr. Barnhart.
Yep.
Tigers a half game ahead of the red hot, and you thought you were going to kick dirt in their face, Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
Only half game out. They've won 9 of 10. Now, of course, the Tigers made a splash during the deadline after the A's made those huge deals, got John Lester, Samardzija, Hamill. They did trade Cespedes. He's a Red Sox now. But you guys, the Tigers, flipped the coin and got David Price. First of all, your thoughts on that deal? Do you like that trade? And then there was some other Tiger news involving our rosters today. But what are your thoughts on the David Price trade?
I like it in the long term, because I think Scherzer is gone. And so this gives you another ace that could just step right in and fill that void. I don't like it because I really think that this team needed to address its bullpen more.
Agreed.
I know they were connected to Andrew Miller. I would have loved to have seen him go back to the team that drafted him, the Tigers. I like David Price. I think he's a great pitcher. He pitched a great game today against the Jays. He pitched well against the Yankees earlier in the week. And I think Dombrowski, you know, was just trying to say, look, our bullpen stinks, but if we get Price, we can shorten the games. And generally speaking, that's true. They can with him. He's a horse, but I don't know. I just think that a bullpen arm like Miller and maybe another guy, if they could have swung it, would have helped more, because not only would you be adding those arms, but you'd be replacing the subpar arms that have been pitching the late innings for the Tigers. And trust me, they've got a lot of subpar arms in that bullpen right now.
Hmm. I agree, and it's. I thought the Tigers, that was going to be their first, trades were going to be for their bullpen, because that was really where the main weakness was.
Yeah, and I mean it's a good long term move. It's not a good short term move.
Hmm. In the East, the Orioles have actually given themselves some distance. Baltimore, as of right now, 5 games ahead of the Blue Jays and 6 ahead of the Yankees. Are you a little surprised, Joel, that the Orioles have created some distance here?
Not too much. I mean, a little bit, given that they don't really have a frontline top of the rotation starter to really lead this charge.
Were you surprised they didn't make any trades?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought that, you know, they'd be in on some guys. Price and Lester would have been great fits, but, you know, maybe they just didn't want to pay that price, given that that would both be intra-division deals. But yeah, I was surprised that the only thing they did was add Andrew Miller, and that was it. I was really surprised they didn't try to grab something else.
Mm. Now that division, I mean, you know, that's a rough division. And being a Yankee fan, I mean, I think Cashman did a pretty decent job plugging in these guys like Headley and McCarthy and stuff. But I've never seen a more I mean, it's like going back to the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, they cannot score a run. I've never seen anything like it in my life. You go up against a great Tigers pitching staff. You beat them 3 out of 4. And then you go against this woeful Indians team. And you can't, you know, you were shut out for 17 or 18 innings, over the weekend. So I don't get it. Yeah, so, well,
you know, they weren't scoring a lot of runs against the Tigers either, George. They were just scoring enough because our offense hasn't been doing anything either. It's just,
it's unbelievable. And it's just, it's frustrating, because had the Yankees even just had a little bit better of an offense, they could be tied with the Orioles right now, because this patchwork pitching staff has actually kept them in most games.
Mm-hmm. In the West, just as close a race. And I'm pretty stunned by this, because I think Oakland is the best team in the league. And they're only 4 up on the Angels. They're 10 up on Seattle, but the Mariners aren't doing too bad. Can the Angels catch Oakland at this point, Joel?
Never say never, but I don't know. I don't think so. I think Oakland, with that deep starting staff and a pretty solid bullpen, I think Oakland hangs on to this and sees it through and picks up the division, but I think the Angels are going to end up with a wild card spot. They're 4.5 up on the Royals for the first spot. So
yeah,
I think Oakland's going to take the division. But I would bet, you know, we'll see Anaheim in the playoffs, and Seattle's only a game and a half back for the second wild card spot. So they're still kicking too.
Still plenty of baseball left to play. If the playoffs started today in the American League, the Angels and Royals would play the one wild card game.
Yep.
And I believe the Angels Royals would play in the wild card. The Orioles would play Detroit.
Yep.
And the A's would play the winner of the wild card game because they don't care about divisions anymore like they used to, where you know the two they didn't want two division teams playing each other in the division series. So that's what it would be. Angels and Royals would have the wild card spots. They'd play each other. The winner would get Oakland, and then Detroit would play Baltimore in the other division series. In the National League, at the moment, the top two teams in the East are playing each other. Washington now with a 4.5 game lead on the Braves. Milwaukee now up. Milwaukee now up 2 on St. Louis, and the Dodgers are up 4.5 on San Francisco. Your overall thoughts on the three divisions? We'll start with the Nationals. They're kind of riding the ship a little bit.
They are. It's just, you know, they haven't really, you know, played well enough to really take advantage of just how bad Atlanta has been. I mean, the Braves are like 1-9 over their last 10, and Washington's only 5-5. So that 4.5 game lead could be a lot bigger. But yeah, Washington does seem to be gaining a little bit of momentum. You know, we had talked, I think back in June, just before the All-Star break, about teams that were going to go on a run, and Washington didn't quite go on that run that everybody thought they would, but I think, you know, that they are starting to put the pieces together, and, you know, they're getting things healthy. I really like what they're doing, kind of shuffling that lineup, keeping, you know, Harper and Worth and Span and their infielders, even Zimmerman, Rendon, keeping all those guys playing. It seems like they're keeping all those guys happy too, which is, you know, a testament, I think, to Matt Williams' ability to juggle those things. But yeah, this is a team that you know is good and could get a lot better if they can just, you know, if they keep playing the way they are, they'll be fine.
Dodgers actually forging ahead. They're 4.5 up on the Giants. Giants not scoring runs. Pitching seems to be fading a little bit. You had no faith in them when we last talked. Still don't?
Not to get through to the end. I don't think they have enough offense to pull it out. I think that pitching staff, it's not bad, but you know, but I think they're going to struggle. They're a half game back of Pittsburgh for that second wild card spot. I think if San Francisco makes a wild card run, Scott, I think it'll be more because of lackluster play from the teams in front of them than anything remarkable the Giants do.
And then you got Milwaukee, who's go ahead, G.
Well, the Dodgers are pretty much where we expected them to be at this point. I think didn't the three of us pick them to win the division? So
I believe so. Yeah.
And Milwaukee hanging in there though. This is the biggest shock, Joel. The Brewers are hanging in. They're 2 ahead of the Cardinals, 2.5 ahead of this is the tightest race. 2 ahead of the Cardinals, 2.5 ahead of the Pirates, and 5 ahead of Cincinnati. So that race still not over, but Milwaukee is fighting them off. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I didn't think they had quite the staying power that they did. I figured they would be running out of gas right about now. But they're hanging in there. I think a lot of that has to go to their catcher, John Lucroy. He's been an amazing hitter. He's one of the best catchers in baseball, and I think that he's really got to take some credit for kind of leading that staff. And the Brewers have stayed pretty healthy. I mean, St. Louis lost Molina. Pittsburgh lost McCutchen, and you know, you can never overestimate the importance of just staying healthy to the success of a team.
Right.
It's true. Especially these days, it seems like every team's got a rash of injuries. So if you only lose one or two guys, you're in pretty good shape these days.
Yeah. You know what? We should just bring back steroids so everybody can stay healthy. That would work.
There were discussions about having HGH be legalized. Maybe not like Nandrolone and all that other crap, but
right.
Who knows? Look what happened to Kurt Angle. Joel, it's been a pleasure as always. We'll have you back on in September when we get towards the real pennant races and the rosters expand, and we'll see how both your teams are doing. Mine'll probably suck like they are right now. And although they did take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, although anybody can do that right now. should have swept and they blew a lead today. But anyway, Joel, pleasure as always. Enjoy the rest of
Joel.
Your month, and we'll talk to you in September. When we come back, we're going to surprise everyone, and I can't believe you ready to hear this. You're enjoying me about to say this, Dr. G, aren't you? We're going to open the phones.
Like that? Yes.
We're going to take calls next on the Extra Point.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net. Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode number 12, Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Scott Criscolo, along with the doctor, George Rebellino. I'd like to thank Joel Barnhart for joining us in segment one. We could talk about Hall of Fame. You're right, G. We could talk about that.
I could talk about it forever. You know, we got a great name of our show now, because now the Extra Point isn't such a given anymore in the NFL.
I know. They were kicking 40 yarders over the weekend and everything.
It's great. So hey, I can't wait, because I know we're going to talk some NFL next show. So.
Yes, episode, we're going to pimp it up now. We're going to actually have a couple. We're going to have a bonus show. Episode 13 is going to be in 2 weeks. Will be our official NFL preview. I'm trying to book our guy. I have to talk to him, but it's a guy that's been on. I'm going to surprise you. He's been on Place to Be podcast with Mr. Azzaro and I. Trying to get him on to be our official exclusive NFL analyst. I'm going to talk to him, see if he can come on, and we will do NFL. And we're going to have a special Extra Point bonus show, because obviously not only is the NFL starting, but college football starting. And I'm going to sit down with Todd Gessling and ramp up college football, because that obviously starts as well. Can the Seminoles of Florida State defend their national championship? Maybe I'll get Kevin Kelly on. There's only one guy, though, I have to ask if he can have permission to have Kevin Kelly on. And he's going to be our first call, because I have to ask, because he's his producer, so I want to make sure I can get permission to have him on the program. So I'll ask him now. PIC, for the college football preview, is it okay if I can branch Kevin Kelly off to another show?
He doesn't belong on any show.
First call, ladies and gentlemen, and a first time he's been on since before the baseball season, my PIC, Justin Rosero, co-host of the Place to Be podcast and producer and co-host for the Kevin Kelly show. And where are you, on the Mass Pike, or where are you trolling right now?
I'm sitting outside this condo in a car because the kids are sleeping and I don't want to be loud. So,
what's going on? Had a nice weekend?
I got Don bugging me to go get a picture of the supermoon, so... I'll have to make it quick. Yes, I've had a few beers. I'm ready to rant. Ready to get Dr. G all fired up.
Oh, boy. All right. That's not too hard these days.
That is true.
Topics, and I had to be the first call. So, number one, I want to talk about Tony Stewart. Can we talk about that?
We can talk about Tony Stewart. Yes. It was a very sad thing that happened on Saturday night. Very
malicious.
Sad.
I think it's malicious. Now, I went to bed. I missed everything. I woke up to this, all these, catching up with these tweets and message board posts and Facebook posts, and I kind of caught myself up there. I watched the video. And I couldn't. The first thing I couldn't believe, because I first read it, he was still planning on racing, and it said his PR guys be like, "Oh, Tony's gonna race, his business as usual." And you just killed the guy like 12 hours ago, and his business as usual.
That is a little strange.
It's clear that he tried to hit him or do something, right?
Well, I guess they bumped earlier in the race. And this guy got bumped, and a car in front of Tony Stewart was able to get out of the way of the guy, and somehow Tony Stewart didn't see him and didn't get out of the way of the guy and pretty much plowed him over. They said there are no criminal charges at the moment, so I don't know what that means, but we'll see. Tony Stewart's one of those guys, you either love him or you hate him. So
I honestly knew nothing about him until today. I knew he was a racer, but I don't know. I have no... independent knowledge of who he is.
No, he's one of those guys you either love. He's like A-Rod. You either absolutely love him or you absolutely hate him if you're an auto racing guy. So
yeah, and it's one of those things too that, you know, I hold back my opinion yet because you really don't know the whole story. There's so much, you know, to come out about it. I mean, I don't think it was malicious because you're driving so fast. It's, and if somebody's getting out of their car, it's, you know, it's not easy to just go swerve, and otherwise you're gonna crash. I, you know, who knows? It'll be interesting to see when they do the investigation.
Mm. I'm on the record now. I say it's on purpose.
Okay. So you're expecting a murder investigation going on here.
Well, I'm not saying I expect anything to come of it.
It would be manslaughter, actually. It would probably be manslaughter, unless it'd be murder, too. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. What else you got in your bag of tricks?
All right, Ray Rice, let's do it, boys. What do we think? Too lenient?
Oh, he's a piece of trash. He really is. I mean, he... I think this is another example of the inaccuracy of Roger Goodell. I feel like he cherry picks when he wants to be a tough guy and when he doesn't want to be a tough guy.
Didn't Ray Rice's wife go and plead for him for leniency?
I don't know.
I think so, Bill. Two games? I mean, guys who get busted with pot are getting like Josh Gordon got like a full year. Or
I know.
For smoking weed, and this guy decked his life on camera in an elevator because two games. I mean, the best joke I saw was that Ray Rice had his first carry of the season since the elevator in the game.
I agree with Justin is the fact if you're going to be tough, be tough. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you just get two games to that. So it's. You gotta have some kind of standards, of what you're gonna do. But again, there's the NFL bad boys again. There's always something before the start of a season. You can't go with quiet times in the NFL. Somebody's always getting in some kind of trouble.
He should have got at least six games.
Maybe. Yeah, half a year. He should have got half.
Yeah, maybe eight.
And then the Ravens fans give him a standing ovation in training camp. What the fuck is wrong with them?
Yeah, then they're gonna turn around. Yeah, all right, and then smack their wives. I mean,
what the hell?
It's like,
and it's on video. It's not like it's like alleged or anything. I mean, they're pretty much admitting that he did it, and then they give him a standing ovation.
I mean, really, how idiotic could you be? I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Only in America.
Yeah.
Hey, Baltimore. Exactly. What do you think? Speaking of Baltimore, G, what's this weekend?
I think you broke up a little bit there, PIC. You want to say that again?
I said, speaking of hating Baltimore, what do we think about the series with the Yankees this week?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I was really jacked up after the Tiger series. I was like, wow, you know, they're really patching it together and played really good. Obviously, we hit a time where the Tigers were slumping. And then, you know, you figure, all right, we got to at least get two out of three against Cleveland. I wasn't being greedy and saying, oh, we got to sweep it. And then they go and they lay an egg and they can't score a run the last 2 days. I just don't get this team. If they even were halfway decent with the offense this season, we could be tied for first place. That's what's frustrating is that Rothschild has done such a good job with this pitching staff, this patchwork pitching staff, and this lineup, which frustrates me every single day, can't score enough runs. We're in every single game. I don't know how you feel, but I'm so frustrated. I just want to throw something at the TV when I'm watching them.
Yeah, that's right. I was excited too, coming off the Tiger series, but my boss's boss, the big Yankee fan, hates me because I told him when we were leaving work on Friday, I said, you watch, they're going to lose two out of three to Cleveland now. And I was expecting Saturday with Kluber on the mound. He's been really good. But today with Kuroda, that's a game they should win. And Teixeira not being able to stay healthy has really hurt them off and on throughout the year. And McCann going down now. But, I mean, the lineup looks better with these pickups at the trade deadline. Like, when you look at it, think of what it looks like in April and May with Solarte and Roberts and Kelly Johnson batting 79. And now you have, you know, Prado and Headley. Like, those are your guys batting at the end of the order. That order looks a lot, lot better. And I still think they're there. I still think they got a very good chance at the wild card. I think this week will tell us about the division. If they can go in there and take two out of three or sweep the Orioles, you can still kind of think about it. If they go in and get swept, then... I think we say goodbye to the division and we just focus on the wild card at that point.
I agree. And I think the thing with this, it's good to have this wild card. I mean, one thing about this team, which it showed you, it could play, it plays very well in, you know, one run games. So you get into that, you know, that one game wild card playoff, anything could happen. It's all bets off, you know, you just never know what's going to happen and you you can advance. So at this point, you just got to hope to get that last wild card spot and just, you know, throw the stuff against the wall and see what sticks and go from there. Because I agree with you. They have to go in at least take two of three. If they don't, then you have to start thinking of the wild card only.
Jared, let me ask you.
This one, the wild card game in L.A., you need Tanaka for that game. I mean, we got to hope he comes back, or at least that Pineda comes back as strong as he has, because you're going to roll into a place that's always been notoriously tough for you to play, or even could be Oakland if Anaheim wins the division, but against, you know, Weaver or one of their top guys, that's a tough spot to go into. So, I mean, for the Yankees, have the best. I'll say this. I feel good about their chances of making a little bit of a run in the postseason if Tanaka is fine and comes back, and if Pineda comes back. I think that then you add McCarthy as your three, or in Kuroda and McCarthy as your 3-4, you're looking a lot better.
Yeah, you do. What do you think? Do you think that Tanaka is going to be able to come back from this, or do you think it's going to wind up that he's going to wind up having the Tommy John surgery in the end?
Well, Ward, he said he feels all right. There is precedent. Adam Wainwright had this, and he didn't get Tommy John for like 6 years or something, or 5 years, I think, after he had this problem. So you factor in what's the medical differences since 2006 with the whole platelet-rich injections and everything else, and they said from the start it was a slight tear. So I'm guessing he'll need Tommy John at some point. I'm hoping it's now in the next couple of years. But, you know, I think they'll have to decide. See where they're at in early September. If they're still right there in the wild card, maybe you try and push it. If not, maybe you shut them down and rest them if they fall back five or six games.
I agree. I think that's what they'll do. I think if he can come back and, you know, still pitch pretty well, but if the team winds up like falling out of it a little bit, shut him down for the rest of the season and hope that he could come back for spring training strong. So,
JR, let me ask both of you, because I know your answer, G, but JR, I've never really. There were a few Yankee callers yesterday in the sports talk, because yesterday, of course, Saturday was Paul O'Neill Day. Do you think Paul O'Neill deserves a plaque? There are a few Yankee fans that thought that he should be honored, but a plaque might be a bit much in Ponyon Park for him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the plaques are for any, you know, Hall of Fame level guys or anyone that's like identifiable with a era. And to me, you don't think of that era of Yankees without thinking of Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, and then the core four. So I think all those guys belong in there. I would have had a bigger beef with Tino over Paul O'Neill, to be honest. I'm fine with them both getting one, but I think Tino one was a little bit more questionable than O'Neill, because O'Neill had it. I mean, what, 9 years he was there? Mm. A little bit longer than Tino, and was there for all the series, all the wins, and everything else, even the Mattingly playoffs in 95. And O'Neill is one of the big cornerstones of turning the franchise around when Stick Michael traded Roberto Kelly for him. So I think O'Neill identifies more with that era than even like Tino would. So I think that's more the beef is with Tino. I think Bernie and O'Neill are just as identifiable as the core four when you look at that era.
Mm. Well, I agree with you. You know, I couldn't have said it any better. I think if you were going to, between O'Neill and Tino, as much as I love Tino, I Tino's more questionable. Paul O'Neill definitely brought that swagger, but like he
fire.
Brought the fire and the respect for the pinstripes again. When he came to this team, there was something that he just brought that just changed. You know, him with Mattingly. I mean, they have such respect for each other and starting to turn that franchise around. And he needed a change of scenery, and it was the change of scenery that was perfect for him, even though in the beginning he was nervous about coming here. I think he deserves a plaque. I don't have a problem with it at all. I think this era is so much different. You can't compare it to the 40s and the 50s when they only had one round. You know, you basically won your league and you went right to the World Series. It's much, much harder to win a championship these days, and to win four like they did, he was a big, big part of it. I have no problem. I don't have any problem with any of those guys from that era. And I think personally, JR, I don't know if you agree with me, I think that Bernie's number deserves to be retired. I think he's definitely one of, you know, I would say, you know, even second to, or third to DiMaggio and Mantle is the best center fielder, you know, third best center fielder in team history.
Yeah, and I think you can argue, I know the core four gets a lot of play because they lasted the longest and they came up together, but Bernie kind of gets forgotten in that group. And I think you put him higher on the list of important Yankees of that era, of that run, of those titles. I mean, I think he's more important than Posada was for those World Series championships. Posada had the longer run, and then they won the 2009 one. But I'd say Bernie was much more important to those titles in 96 through 2001, through 2000, rather, than Posada.
I agree, because Bernie, you know, Bernie was one of the best clutch hitters, you know, of all time in the playoffs. So, you know, you got to consider that part. That's a big part of Yankee history. You know, you can't even, you know, and I know it sounds like we're being egomaniacs, or you can't compare Yankee history to other teams' history. It's just a whole totally different thing. And Yankee fans and the team like to honor their heroes that helped them become winners. And I think they're doing a good job with this. Now, I wouldn't say I want to do plaques every single year. Now, you can't get crazy with it. But I think, you know, the guys they are honoring deserve it.
Mm. I mean, I think you could argue that Bernie was more important than Jeter to some of those World Series years. I mean, honestly, I mean, he was such a big force in the lineup in those playoff series. He just had great playoff numbers. I remember those division series against the Rangers in like 96 and 98. I mean, his numbers were through the roof. So I mean, you could argue he was maybe after Rivera, the second most important person through those four titles.
I mean, he hit the home run in game one against Baltimore after Jeter hit the Richie Garcia home run, and then he homered, 99 game one, right? He homered off Rod Beck. So, yeah, I agree with you guys on that, definitely.
All right, one more question for you guys.
Yeah.
Who do you like to win the WNBA championship? I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts. Thanks.
Wow. I wouldn't even want to waste my breath on that.
The Connecticut Sun. Yeah. I actually should look at the standings. That's even the worst part.
Come on. Connecticut doesn't deserve to win anything. It never wins anything. Except for college sports, I guess. You know, whatever.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
That's why I love him.
What a mess. incidentally, we will be on later this week. We both have stuff. So later this week, we will be doing our two episodes. We'll be doing the... our all-time July and August.
You know, you sit here and you bitch about Mick Foley, and you are the biggest whore I've ever met in my life. You're always pimping some other show.
Yeah, but there's a difference. I'm not looking for money.
To have your freaking mouth on constantly. You're sitting there and you're pimping, like, pimping ain't easy.
Ain't easy. Yeah, but okay. I'm not looking for... But this isn't personal. I'm sharing my podcast love with everybody. It's not just, join me alone for my crappy stand-up act and some dumping Batchog or whatever the hell he does. Oh, don't get me started. I'll have to get on a.
All right, so you're going to be on this week 9,000 times. Yeah,
9,000 times. I'm going to have you on eventually. I told you I'd have you on. I told you I'd have you on. You know, at some point for a show. We can't have a Brock Lesnar Bash Fest, sadly, because we've already had our wars with that. So, you know, I think it's.
You know what? You got to tell some, except for Reese, you got to tell these other guys, Brock Lesnar's a loser. Move on, guys. All right? He's a loser. Okay? He's a little wimp that couldn't handle the traveling, and he couldn't handle the business. If you can't handle the business, then go somewhere else. We don't need your business. We don't need you here. I think it's a travesty that they made him beat Undertaker. Don't even get me started. Let's not go there.
Oh, God. Oh, son of a bitch.
Okay. So coming on next now.
We're waiting for our next call. It's the Ray Rice thing. You and I haven't really talked about much. I like Roger Goodell, but he does cherry pick. His punishments.
I mean, like Justin says, I mean, it's right out there. It's. I mean, you can't even really deny it. I mean, you got. Great evidence, whether she came to you or not. You know what? You can't. Now, what happens if this happens to someone else? Now, you're going to give them a 6-game and only give him a 2-game? I mean, you got to kind of set a standard here of, you know, we got to get these guys. I mean, besides the legal aspect of it, let's just talk about the sports.
Hey, part of it.
There you go. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Yo, how are you?
Good, good. You're with myself and the doctor. And before we get into it, before we get into lasagna and spaghetti and oil, okay, I don't want to get into it. We'll battle that later. Veal Parmesan and whatever you two are battling over in terms of burrow Italian food. What do you got for us, Steve?
Bottle of whites, bottle of mints, have some bottle of those things, Steve. Entertainment on the industry. And hunt the sound if
you want. Well, this is free.
Hunt the sound if you want. Entertainment on the street, and I'm all familiar place. You and I,
you know, Doc, you sound better than Bruce Hornsby. Steve, you're the best.
Anytime you want, given the place to be, rest of all.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, you're funny. All right. What do you got for us, Steve?
Not much. What were we talking about today?
Well, let's see. Well, of course, the Mr. Azzaro and him were talking Yankees. We can ignore that. What do you think of Ray Rice? We were just talking about Ray Rice. The league only gave him two games. We were saying that Roger Goodell seems to like cherry picking who he likes to punish and who he doesn't like to punish.
Yeah, silently.
Do you think you should? How much do you think you should have got?
I don't know. I don't know. Hard to say. I like to say maybe a month, maybe 2 months.
I would say half the year. Yeah, 8 games. Yeah. That's what we were talking about. I mean, this guy, there's documented evidence that he smacked his whatever fiance around. Are they even married yet? I think it's fiance around.
I think they are now. Yeah.
Yeah, he smacked her around on camera. Mm-hmm. I mean, Josh Gordon lost the whole season for smoking dope, and this guy gets 2 games and he beat the crap out of his fiance. I mean, it's amazing how – and I like Roger Goodell, you know?
Yeah.
But now you set a bad standard. You had to make him, you had to use him as the example. Listen, we're not tolerating this stuff. He's getting 8 games, and that's it. There's no questions about it. Now what do you do if this happens to another player? You can't give that player more games than you gave Ray. I mean, you got to, you know, now you kind of set a different standard, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about our orange and blue, Steve? They should have swept the Phillies. I'm a little miffed. And they almost lost 2 out of 3. They almost blew the game last night.
What are you going to do? It's just winning out the spin. What the hell is going on with the rim? Apparently his shoulder hurt now.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they've been smart in not picking Syndergaard yet and not bringing him up. Glad they haven't traded him, that's for sure. Believe it or not, I'm not upset that they made any trades at the deadline. I mean, they're 6 games under. They're behind the Marlins. The Marlins suck. I mean, they're not going to grab. I thought maybe they'd have a puncher's chance to get that second wild card, but it's not gonna happen.
But more importantly, Scotty, how are our Fairfield stats going to mean this year? Are we taking the Mac?
Mac hoops, baby. I love it. We have to get our Mento on to talk this.
Wow.
You know, Dr. G usually comes for the beer, so I don't know what his ideas are. But, no, I tell you, Sidney Johnson is a good coach. I think he struggled last year. You know, he's a Princeton guy, Steve. So he likes that backdoor extra passing stuff, but he's got some good shooters. He's got a good front line. I mean, he had a guy that played at Pitt. I mean, he was a Big East player, and he played like 8 minutes a game. And then he had like this myriad of crappy point guards that were fumbling the ball all over the place. It was frustrating at times, I have to say. It was nice they did beat Iona. I like watching them beat Iona.
Always.
But, I don't think they'll be too bad. I think Iona will still be pretty good this year. I think Manhattan's going to be pretty good. I'm not sure. The team that always irks me because they're usually a 500 team, but they seem to always have Fairfield's number, is Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
They always seem to beat Ryder. They always seem to struggle against Ryder, but they get that one good game against somebody else. So I have to kind of look at the roster. I like the guards. I hope that he can kind of move the ball around a little bit more. I feel like there's a lot of stagnating on offense. They stand around a lot at the baseline. Mm-hmm. So I have to really dig in and see how things look. But I like Sidney. I think he was I'm not mad at him, but this is a year that they really need to forge ahead. And well, obviously, we'll get more into the Mac when we get into October, right before Midnight Madness and everything. But I'm looking forward to the season. I love going to games at the arena. I mean, I wish the crowds were a little bigger. I'm not going to lie, but you know, we get a good crew, and Mr. Rotella, the Silverback, and I sit up in the nosebleeds, and the nosebleeds at the arena are actually not bad. The doctor sat with us; they're not bad, right? Where Rotella and I sit, they're not too bad, right? Our seats. Is he gone? Man, he won't even talk to you. I'm not talking to that guy who likes Manhattan food.
Now you guys broke up there on me for a second.
I was saying I said that Rotella and I have pretty good seats at the arena for the staff.
You do,
right?
Because you only have five fans.
That's what I'm saying. I want a bigger crowd. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Fairfield Stag fans, if you're listening, or Mac fans, Iona, Ryder, Manhattan,
no,
even Siena, and that, you know, and where did that hump Patsos go? He went to Siena, didn't he? Yeah, he went to Siena because he didn't want Loyola went to the Patriot League. How about that for a downgrade? Yeah, I'm going to the Patriot League so I can beat Army twice a year by 75 points.
Hell, how about Fordham in the A-10?
Yeah, that's just bad. They don't belong there. Well, I watched Fordham came, Steve. Fordham played Fairfield, I think it was 3 years ago, at Rec Hall.
Yep.
in their building at Alumni Hall.
Yeah. And I went there, actually.
Yeah. And they got throttled. Yeah. I mean, Derek Wittenberg was that poor bastard. He was getting mocked, and his t-shirt, his dress shirt was falling out, and it was such a mess. Such a mess. Steve, it was a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
Same here.
And, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Mo.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon, all right? We'll talk more Mac hoops. Thank you. Right. Awesome.
Let's go Mets.
Yeah, Dr. G. Let's go Carmine's in the theater district. Thanks, Steve.
Bye, guys.
I thought you put on mute because you didn't want to talk about the veal parm is what I thought you didn't want to talk about.
No. You guys broke up there for a second.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. No, I know. We will definitely talk plenty of college hoops when we get into October.
I don't think Mac's going to be on the top of the list, though. But
well, yeah. I mean, there'll be a little Mac talk. There'll be a little Mac talk because we have to.
JR got it started off pretty good, though. There, he got me all a little fired up.
Yeah, got fired. Yeah, definitely. I was getting very excited about that. So, all right. But anyway, I appreciate everyone who has called in so far, and I also like to thank Joel Barnhart again. Let's see. There we go. Oh, there we go. That's what I was like. I was pushing the wrong button. All right. Let's see who else is on the. We got a few other people on the line here. Let me see if this guy comes on soon. You know, I don't like having people on who have the same color that drink the same drinks that are the color of their shoes. But I don't think he's kicked in yet. I like surprising all these callers, but I didn't think about this Tony Stewart thing, Dr. G. I didn't know a whole lot about it, but
it's definitely something that's going to be talked about for a while, and it's just, I mean, it's a shame, you know, for the person who died, and you know, for Tony Stewart himself. I mean, I'm hoping it's not intentional. I don't think it was. You know, to have to live with that, you know, that's just a tough one. That's tough thing all around. You know, especially when somebody loses their lives, especially in sports. You know, when you know something as big as that, or you know, something that normally does not happen, even though it is a dangerous sport that you don't see happen all the time. It's sad.
Yeah. No. It is very sad. It is very sad. I agree. And particularly in a situation where apparently they bumped their cars. Now, this wasn't, just to let you know, anybody who's listening who may not know, this wasn't like your typical like Daytona where, you know, it's a big oval. This was one of those like road races, like Watkins Glen, where it's like a lot of driving and curves. It wasn't like a typical oval. So the car wasn't going as fast as a normal NASCAR race. I mean, he wasn't going, you know, 220 miles an hour or 180 miles an hour. I'm sure he was still calling, driving fast enough to obviously kill him. But yeah, that's sad. That's kind of sad. I'm a little bummed about that. And again, I don't dislike Tony Stewart. I don't know where this is going to go, but yeah, it was pretty funny hearing JR open up with a auto racing call. That was very impressive. So to preview again, our NFL preview will be coming up in a couple weeks. And in fact, the guy that I want on is on Skype. I wonder if I should I don't want to surprise him. Imagine that. Imagine I just start surprising callers. What do you think?
Oh yeah, there we go. That's a little phone tap. Why not?
The phone tap.
Gentlemen.
Oh, wait a minute.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Wait a minute. I don't let people on who drink drinks the same color as their sneakers. Coco, beware. All right? All right? And you need to serenade us, because Steve Rogers just sang to us, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, it is the governor of Long Island and our very good friend, Jay Arsenio Di Amato, is here. And
gentlemen, outstanding job with the show, gentlemen. Kudos.
You're the best, John. So you want to? I know what you want to talk. I didn't read the tweet that you tweeted us on Twitter. And by the way, please follow us on Twitter, P2B Extra Point, and tweet us anything you want to talk about. And of course, email us as well, extrapoint@playstation.com. Now, you, my diehard Knicks fan, sitting here wanting to wax nostalgic to the Baron of Brooklyn here. Where's the war? Where's the hate, guys? It's because they both stink. That's why.
Well, before we get into it with Dr. G, let's being that you mentioned Steve Rogers, he's me, you, and him about the only ones that'll care about this. But what do you think about our decrepit Mets? We know, like, this year was a wash and they weren't going anywhere.
Right.
But as far as going forward, do you think they should go with Terry Collins? Because I don't think if they want to be a contender,
you know,
I think they got to go forward with another.
You know, that's a good question. That's a good question, JAD, because I was talking to somebody about this, a guy that I work with who's a big Mets fan who is pining for Wally Backman. The doctor knows who I'm talking about. And then other people tell me, well, why don't we give Terry Collins a chance to manage an actual team of talent instead of having, you know, the poor bastards had to deal with, like, you know, half-wits and, you know, the Omar Quintanillas of the world and all these other scrubs. Maybe when this team next year has a loaded pitching staff and can sign Tulowitzki and sign Cargo and actually have a team that can compete, should he get a chance to coach? Or is he like a low-rent Buck Showalter who's good at kind of cultivating, and then once the stars get here, then you give it to a Lou Piniella or somebody who knows how to manage those?
Oh, I wish it could be 10% of what Buck Showalter is, but I don't see it, Scott. From what I see, he is the absolute worst at handling the bullpen. And which hurts so much because our enemy is, for me, it's only one channel away. I could watch Joe Girardi, who is the absolute best in the major leagues at handling a bullpen. And Terry is like at the other end of the scale. So.
You know, I kind of agree with you on it, but I'm on one of those, you know, I'm not a Mets fan, but just from the outside, I think you need to give him one more year. I think you need to give him a team and see what he could do because these guys do play for him.
Yeah,
they do play
the
hard for him.
Right, yeah. I agree.
I mean, and that's very key today, especially in today's sports world. If you get your clubhouse to rally around you, because you know, there's a lot of egos out there. I think you got to give them one more year with a good team. If the Mets actually go out, I mean, they got the young pitching. I mean, if you had to look at it, and I'm saying this as a Yankee fan, the future of the Mets and the future of the Yankees, the future of the Mets look much brighter. You guys got a good young farm system. You got great pitching down there. Yankees don't have anything, really. I mean, they have no position players whatsoever. And I really like, you know, what the Mets are doing. They're taking a little more time than you guys would like. But I think if they really could go out and do something in this offseason, I think you got to give Terry Collins one more chance. I really do. Everybody's pining for Wally Backman, but Wally Backman's got that old school mentality, that Billy Martin mentality, that I don't know if it's going to translate with these players today. I think, you know, he may add that energy you're looking for, and then he's going to wear out. His act is going to wear out, and then you guys are going to be calling for his head. That's just my opinion.
I'm 50-50. I like leaning towards you, John. I think this Mets team probably needs somebody who's, you know, got a little sachet. But I don't want to pull like a Jason Bay, where, oh, you guys want a manager? Fine, we'll bring in this guy, and then we bring in Art Howe, and he sucked.
Oh my God.
You know, I might have to lean. I understand what you're saying, though, JAD. I understand the whole that it's been frustrating, but at the same time, he hasn't really had a pot to piss in. So, I don't know. Let's see how the rest of the season goes. If they keep fighting, I mean, this bullpen is just getting taxed.
Yeah.
I mean, they almost blew last night's game. They blew today's game.
Yeah, I know.
They should have swept the Phillies. The Phillies suck.
Yep.
And they should have swept them. So I'm a little frustrated about that.
Because I see teams with the same.
If you were telling me, Scott,
Oh, where'd you go?
I'm here.
Oh, where'd he go? He broke up. Go ahead.
I see teams with the same level of mediocrity that are hanging in there. Like the Royals, you know, are just about the same, have the same talent as the Mets, and they're hanging in there. You know, of course they got the best bullpen in probably the league, but
yeah, they probably do.
But you know, I'm saying the division and the National League's been so mediocre. I think a better manager could have coaxed a few more wins and had him at least a 500, you know, around.
Okay, so just this.
He just dumped. Let me see if I can bring him back. I mean, Terry Collins is not a bad guy. I think. Maybe he's trying to call back in. He's not a bad guy. I don't think he's always been considered one of those very mediocre managers anyway. I'm kind of 50-50 on that, JAD.
I'm back. I got,
yep.
Got,
okay, there you are.
I got
right,
disconnected,
good.
What I was finishing off is that if you guys had, if there was a Buck Showalter, there was a name manager that you could bring in, to replace Terry Collins, then I agree with you. Then, you know, maybe you need to make the change. But we don't know. Wally Backman's very untested. We don't know if he's going to be any better than Terry Collins is going to be. Is it that much more of an upgrade? I think people are looking for nostalgia because he's from the 86 team. If Wally Backman was from the 76 team, nobody would give, you know, would care less.
I think Doug Flynn would be a fine manager.
Oh, God.
Or Craig Swan. Actually, Craig Swan was had a like,
yeah,
a good,
but,
like,
but
two
while
years.
He's paid his dues in the minors, I mean, I would say give him a chance.
I think he deserves a chance to manage someday. I my point is, I just think you got to give Terry Collins a halfway decent team, see what he could do. If he's not able to do it, then yes, then you got to move on. And I agree. You got to, you know. Even if next year you really go out and you get a Tulowitzki and you even get Cargo and you get all these guys and you build this team and by the next, you know, All-Star break, this team is, you know, in third or fourth place, then yes, then maybe you say, you know what, it's time to make a change. But right. I still think you got to give Terry Collins right. a chance with something. But well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe he doesn't even make it to next year. Who knows?
Yeah. What do you think of your G-men against the? I didn't see what happened last night. Did they beat the Steelers last night?
They won. I mean, you can't take exhibition too seriously. But after True. Last year, they were so horrible in the exhibition, and it carried over into the regular season. So
yeah.
I got to keep an eye on them. But
I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous as a Giants fan with McAdoo's offense. I don't.
Again. I mean, they fell apart last year, and they brought a whole bunch of new guys in. But it's like, geez, I mean,
if you can't protect Eli's screwed.
Yeah, they put all their money in and their franchise, Will Beatty, and he led the league last year in false starts and sacks by the guy that he's supposed to block. So that's not a good look. And the rest of the line fell apart. So you know, it's going to take some time. But so you know.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a rough season.
I mean, it is tough, and we'll obviously talk more about it when we get to our NFL preview in a couple weeks. But I know looking at some of the Giants, 2-0 right in the preseason. They beat the Steelers 20-16.
Means nothing.
I know, but you know, take it for what it is.
Eli didn't even complete a pass.
Is it 0-2? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I take down the Cowboys got throttled Thursday night by San Diego, so I don't think anything anyway. But listen. You're talking about you know, the territory, the turf war going on here between the man in Manhattan and the man in Brooklyn. You go, now look, I have to mediate this because my team's 3,000 miles away, and Lord only knows how they're going to be this year. But the Knicks and the Nets have very similar problems.
That's the truth.
They also have very different problems. The Knicks have a very stable front office. I like Phil. The Nets front office situation's a little shaky, but I do like what they did getting rid of Jason Kidd. Isn't Jason Kidd a hump?
Oh my God.
J.A., he's
don't even get me started.
He's a piece of trash.
Don't even get me started on that.
But the thing is, last year they had their whole campaign based on all the retiring kid's number and Coach Kidd, and they used that to, you know, to try to sell their tickets. So I mean, where are they going moving forward this year?
Well, they're gonna have a tough. I mean, listen, we're not gonna sit here. I'm not drinking any kind of Kool-Aid. The Nets fan base isn't, you know, nearly, not even, you know, a quarter of what the Knicks fan base is. Let's get serious here. I mean, they've got a lot to build. I mean, I am starting to see, you know, just from people I know from Brooklyn that were Knicks fans and are Nets fans now because, you know, they're from Brooklyn and it's, you know, that kind of hometown thing, but. I like that our owner wants to go out and win like Steinbrenner. It just sometimes you got to make the right moves. And right now, unfortunately, they put themselves in a situation where they didn't have a number one draft pick. You know, they have a first round draft pick this year. You know, they're built to be in rough shape the next couple of years. And Jason Kidd did screw them. And but I think Collins will do a good job. I think they're just going to be a middle of the pack team. But as long as they're better than the Knicks, I'll be happy.
I think this year you might have a good chance of that. But I'm saying business wise, like last year, I bought a 10 game package to Brooklyn, and there were a few games that I couldn't go to, and I couldn't give the tickets away. And the games I did go to, you know, the crowd's into it. It's like everybody buys the gear. Everybody loves the black, you know, the jerseys.
Oh,
and everything.
Yeah.
But it's so quiet. It's like the only time that they get hyped up is artificial when they go Brooklyn. But that's it. But otherwise, you know, and it's only the second year. So I think they're going to go down there as far as like the fan base. I mean,
I thought, following the Nets when they were in Jersey, I felt there was a little bit more energy. I think the problem is maybe what you're getting given the tickets. And this is a problem that I did say was going to be for this team is that Brooklyn's a pain in the ass to get to. And especially if you're looking to gain fans from Long Island or from even Connecticut. You know, for us, for Connecticut,
Long Island's not that bad. You got to take two trains. It's not too bad.
But, exactly, but it's that's a long
true,
ride.
True, it is, especially during the week when you got to work. It's true.
Exactly. So yeah. I think that's probably part of their problem. Unfortunately, it should be interesting to see. Now, are you an Islanders fan or are you a Rangers?
No, Rangers. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I grew up 10 minutes from the Coliseum.
Okay. Well, it should be interesting to see how the Islanders will do in Brooklyn. It's going to be interesting to see for this franchise because people from Brooklyn are very passionate about their borough. But if you know, if you're a Knicks fan and that's the way you grew up, it's very hard to get those fans. I mean, there's some, like I said, that I've seen, but it's very hard for them to change their allegiance. Now, if Isaiah Thomas was still running the Knicks, yes, the Nets would have a really good shot at stealing some of the fans. Because I know a lot of disenchanted Knicks fans that are not Knicks fans anymore because of Isaiah Thomas. And I think Scott's brother is one of them.
But like I tweeted to you, it's like with the Knick games, it was 80% Knicks fans. It was you know, it was a little sad that, you know, in your own building, it was just I don't know what to say.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have to bring it on. That's it. We're going to have a little war this year.
No, wait, guys, there's another call. There's another guy coming in. I think you both know who he is.
Yes, hello.
Let's.
You know, I left tickets for Bill Bunder. How about to pick him up?
I'm waiting for Dr. G's favorite line. He's going to say it in a minute.
What do they call it? The curse of the Bambino.
Dr. G was never the biggest Pete Rose fan ever.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Loser.
There you go. Dr. G's favorite line, the city of losers.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Oh, my God. I just love it when he came out. At first, there was polite applause, and then he turned that crowd. Oh, my God. That
he might
brilliant.
Be the greatest. I don't know.
That was brilliant.
J.A., he might be the greatest WrestleMania heel of all time right now.
It was brilliant, man. Oh, God.
You wanted that, Dr. G. You wanted that. How about it?
That's like the time I love when JBL came out and says his New York Giants to the Dallas crowd.
Oh,
that was awesome.
Yeah, yes.
You would have gone in there and said, North End food sucks. Start throwing chicken cutlets at him. Oh, God. JD, when's the Eagles?
Oh, so, next month. Yeah, next month.
Bum.
Yeah, you guys, how was Billy Joel?
Billy, he was awesome.
Yeah, it's good the weather held up. Awesome. Yeah.
Citizens Bank. I got to say, obviously not a Phillies fan by any stretch. It's nice. It's a nice ballpark. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Nah, I've been. Unfortunately, the bank is nicer than Citi Field. Citi Field, don't get me started. There's so many places in the outfield where the friggin' blocked sight lines. It's ridiculous.
There are a lot of bad. I will say that. As much as I love that.
That's
I
horrible.
Love the area where the Shea Bridge is, and
I
do feel like the architecture is about the same. But I will say this about Philadelphia: as much as I don't like any of their teams by any stretch, I do like the fact. And gee, for someone who hates traffic, parking, and people in general, we got out of that parking lot fairly quickly that night.
Yeah, we did. We did get out of it.
The fact that the bank, the Link. And then Wells Fargo, where you and I will be, JAD.
Yeah, the Rumble.
5 months if we're lucky. Yeah. They're all in one area, and it's very easy to get in and out. I have to say, it's not bad.
Yeah, and also the SEPTA trains go through there. Yeah, as a matter of fact, like from South Jersey, where you say you want to stay for the Rumble, it's very convenient. I stood there one time for a Mets Philly series, and I actually stood like close to where you was in South Jersey.
It's Cherry Hill.
And you can catch the SEPTA trains from there, so it's convenient. So you don't gotta, you may have to worry about driving if you want to, get a little,
I have to say that this Billy Joel, because that was the third one that we'd seen on this tour.
Yeah.
And I love MSG, in terms of to see a concert. Better than any place, but I have to say the third concert at Philadelphia was actually the best that I've seen. The crowd was really into it, and he was really juiced up that night. I have to say, going to MSG the last two times, I guess it just could be the people we were around. It just seems like it's that typical New York crowd. Somebody gave them tickets, or it's some hedge fund they got tickets from.
Oh my God, these two people were just, and they kept, and his daughter got up and was singing, and they were looking at her like, ooh, it's like, why don't you go sit up in the suite and drink the Ciroc or whatever, right? And let the diehards sit here in the
That's the only bad part. But in Philly, I tell you, they were really jacked up, and it was really, really a great show. I thought it was the best of the three that we've seen so far on the tour.
Yeah.
You can tell who the amateur fans are when he plays like a deep cut and they're like, oh, what's this song? And,
And
they get up and it's like, come on, man.
Remember that guy? Remember the guy on the birthday show? Got pissed at me because he was like a row above or two rows above us, and he got mad that we were singing every song. Dude, have you ever been to his show? Get a grip.
No.
That's all we do is sing. That's all the Billy Joel diehards do is sing. God, get a grip. Oh my God. Go watch Mel Torme or something. Hey, Tiny. Don Ho is pretty. All right, JD, your time's up.
Peace.
You're watching SummerSlam 02 on the stream.
The Fink is on. All right, guys. It's a pleasure.
All right, John, you're the best.
Peace. Peace, guys.
We'll talk later.
Have a good one, buddy.
All right. That was hilarious. You wanted to be Pete Rose, didn't you?
It was very hard. I normally how fired up I am. Being a Yankee fan, against a Mets fan, I'll just squash you like a bug. But honestly, the Nets, what could I really say? They don't have the fan base the Knicks do, but I still want to see the Nets kick their asses. But there's not much I could say there.
There's another guy I know that loves heels. There's another guy I know who loves heels. He loves bad guys. And I know he would love Pete Rose. He loved Pete Rose at WrestleMania 14.
Gentlemen.
You do know what I'm talking about, right? When Pete Rose stood in the ring at WrestleMania 14 and said, Boston, the city of losers!
Yes.
Of course, my brother joins us now, Chris Griscoll. The reason I want you on, that I want you to call in is for a couple of reasons. Number one, you've been wanting to chomp at the bit about golf. and the PGA was today. And boy, what a final round at Valhalla. My boy Dickie, no, my boy Ricky, I always want to call him Dickie. My boy Ricky was this close. He should have worn orange pants today. He didn't finish out the ensemble today. That's what it was. But Rory wins his fourth major. What did you think of the round today?
It was fantastic. It was great golf. The rain actually made the course soft and receptive, and these guys were just hitting darts at all the flags. And Mickelson, I thought, was going to win the tournament.
Really?
But he didn't make a birdie on any of the par fives on the back, and he bogeyed 16. And I kind of thought that Fowler would be short, but I really thought Mickelson was going to win it. But, I mean, you got to tip your cap to McIlroy. The kid's unflappable. He owns golf right now. That's his fourth major in 3 years. He's 25 years old, and the sky's the limit.
I've heard he's actually goes to – he wants to win the Masters, and that's the one Grand Slam that has eluded him, right? He's won the Open. He's won both Opens, and this is his second PGA. I've heard he's been going, like, on off weeks. He goes to down to Augusta and plays rounds. That's how bad he wants to win the Masters. That's dedication right there.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an issue. That course sets up well for guys who hit it long because it's not really a long course. It's wide open, wide fairways. And, I mean, look at Watson, Bubba Watson. He's won it twice, and he just kills it. But he really doesn't win, you know, pretty much anywhere else. You know, he's good around the greens. He's got great, short game, and so does McIlroy. So it's just a matter of time before he wins at Augusta. And I think he'll probably win multiple times there as well.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this? We had a couple callers earlier talk about this. What are your thoughts on this? Cause you're a NASCAR guy, this Tony Stewart situation's pretty sad.
This guy's an idiot. What are you getting out of your car in the middle of an ongoing race to challenge a driver in the dark? I mean, it's a tragedy for sure, but you can't hold Tony Stewart responsible for what this kid was doing. I mean, it's terrible, but this is on him. Mm-hmm. At least that's my opinion.
Now, do you think that this investigation's gonna bring anything about it? You think it's going to be ruled an accident?
No, I think it's totally an accident. I don't think you could charge. As far as criminal charges go, I wouldn't be surprised if the parents or the family of the 20-year-old kid try to file some sort of civil suit for, you know, negligence or I don't know if you could call it vehicular manslaughter or anything like that. But he may have some civil issues. Mm-hmm. But criminally, no, he's not going to have any trouble. I can't imagine charging him with anything.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Yeah, no, we had a couple callers who actually were
thinking it would be too hard to prove anyway.
Yeah, that's what I think. But we had a couple callers who thought that Stewart tried to hit him because they had some issues earlier in the race. Yeah. I can't see anybody being that sick.
No, I watched the replay like four or five times. I saw it on the news. I watched it on YouTube. And, I mean, there was a car in front of him that swerved out of the way just in time, or he would have hit the kid. And Stewart had no chance to react. It's dark. The guy was wearing a dark suit. No, there's nothing there that would think that he had done this intentionally in any way. I mean, I was kind of stunned when I saw it this morning on my way to the golf course that he was actually thinking about driving at Watkins Glen today. And I'm like, that's really kind of strange. You just hit somebody and now you're going to jump on a race car and race. And then he ended up not doing it. But it's a tragedy, but you know, this guy's got to take some responsibility for it's like trying to run out in the middle of traffic. I mean, really, wasn't too smart.
What do you think of Yanks losing 2 out of 3 in Cleveland?
Oh, my God. After Friday night when they scored 10 runs, in fact, I was actually not happy with how Friday night ended when they were ahead 10-3 and had to give up 3 runs in the ninth. And then yesterday, the last 2 days, they had what they have 5 hits today and 4 hits yesterday, with 9 hits in two games.
Ridiculous. If this lineup was halfway decent this year, especially with this patchwork pitching staff that's kept them in every game, they could actually probably be either a game or two out or even be tied for first with Baltimore. That's even the sad part of it.
Yeah, no, they have no offense. They can't hit. You know, the fact that they're even, you know, two or three games out of the wild card with with what they have is remarkable. But I mean, it's just delaying the inevitable. Well, they'll go on. I mean, they're playing the Orioles this week, and if and this could be the end of the season right here. I mean, what are they, four out now?
Six
and a half out. So if they lose two out of three here, they'll be 7.5, 8 out, and it's over at that point. And I think they're 4 or 5 out of the wild card now. So, this is the week that could finally put the final nail in the coffin. And then you know what you do? You shut Tanaka down, shut Pineda down, and then you let them, you know, let's play for next year.
Mm. I agree. What do you think of the trades?
No, I was just saying I agree. Justin and I were saying if they don't win this series this week against Baltimore, then they got to try to shoot for that second wild card spot. And then after that, if things start going south, and then you shut down Tanaka especially, because no sense. And
I don't even they would even bother playing for a second wild card. What do you say? You can go on the road and get smoked, you know, in Toronto or.
Anaheim?
Forget it. I mean, why bother? It's not like you get a home game out of it.
I feel, you know, this team, even though they're not scoring and things like that, I just feel like they stay in every game. So I think with a one-game playoff, you never know what could happen. Now, where they would go after that in a long series, I mean, who knows? But
well, they would probably end up playing Detroit, which, I mean, we can't expect they're going to beat three Cy Young Award winners like they did this past week again.
Right.
But I personally hope that they just go away and shut these pitchers down and try to do something with these contracts over the winter, and let's start over again next year. I mean, that's my opinion.
What do you think of the A's and Tigers? If you had to pick a team now, they're pretty much the two best in the American League after those trades. What do you think of the trades?
I think they're, you know, if you could get that kind of pitching help, you know, when you've already got strong lineups, I like Detroit. I think they've got more experience than Oakland does. I think Oakland's going to be good for a long time. They've got a lot of good young talent, but I think Detroit, if you made me pick a team, I would take Detroit.
I still think that bullpen needs a lot of work for Detroit, and that's the one area I think they failed during the trade deadline. They needed to pick up a couple of arms for that bullpen. That's really their bugaboo. But I think if they were able to, you never know what could happen to even, you can still make trades now. If they maybe could pick up another arm in that bullpen, because Nathan is horrendous, then I think they could be unbeatable. A Billy Beane ace team, until they prove they do something to me, I still think they'll choke like all his other teams do. So that's how I feel. You got to prove it to me. Everybody's ready to give the A's the American League championship. I'm not ready to say that yet.
No, I think in a 7-game series against Detroit with Oakland, I would pick Detroit.
What do you think of the Ray Rice situation? We've had some discussion about it.
I think he deserved at least half the season.
I agree.
That's what we were saying.
Yeah,
8 games.
I just don't understand how Roger Goodell, and I like Roger Goodell, but I feel like he cherry picks his punishments. You know, Josh Gordon was the whole season, he's some pop. Ray Rice is documented beating the shit out of his fiance, and he gets 2 games. And he's getting cheered. He had a standing ovation this week, the Ravens preseason game. He's getting an ovation. Really?
Yeah.
Then what, the guy's got to beat the shit out of their girlfriend sitting next to him? I mean, what? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I just shook my head at it when I saw it, and I just not even really paid attention to it, because, I mean, what's yapping about it going to do? People can yell and all they want. It's almost like I don't know. I think the NFL needs more than just a commissioner to make decisions. I think they need to have, I think Major League Baseball needs it too, to have, I don't know whether you call it a board of directors or something like that, but I don't think it should be on one man to, you know, make those kinds of decisions.
There should be an arbiter.
Not so much an arbiter, but I think there should be a board of directors, I think, baseball men or football men who are not tied to a team. Some folks who work for the NFL, and some folks who are, you know, long either players, former coaches, former, you know, football people who aren't affiliated with the league. So you get a non-biased opinion.
Right.
But I don't agree. Like the fact that you have one guy in all four of these leagues, you know, kind of being judge and jury. And I just don't think it's fair.
Well, now you set a bad precedent now, because what happens? Another player does this to their wife or their fiance. Now, do you just give them that 2 games? How do you judge, you know, how to, you know, you needed to make him an example and say, listen, this, we're not tolerating this. You're getting half the season. No questions asked. We have proof. This is not like something where it's alleged. They have video of it. This is it. This is what it's going to be. And if you don't like it, too bad.
Yeah, there's no deterrent now. I mean, probably 2 games. I could smack the crap out of my girlfriend or my wife and I get 2 games.
Meanwhile, Josh Gordon lit up a spleef and he loses an entire season. Just look, that still needs to be trafficked from a punishment perspective, not trafficking, actually trafficking. But I mean, it still needs to be punished. I mean, we don't have Peter Tosh here or anything, but you know, it still needs to be punished, but I mean, you gotta lay the line somewhere. I mean, it's ridiculous. It absolutely is ridiculous. By the way, next year's PGA is in Whistling Strait.
Yes, where Vijay beat Martin Keimer in a playoff back in 2010, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was 2009, 2010. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Big Brother, thanks for hopping on. We were experimenting with call-ins, and definitely with the Tony Stewart situation I wanted to talk to, and obviously the PGA today. But I'll have you back on soon. Talk a little NFL. The G-Men, 2-0 in the preseason. Get pumped.
Well, Eli Manning 0-for-2 in a sack, so I can't be too impressed with his performance. But
all right, well, Big Brother, it's been a pleasure, man, and we'll definitely have you back on. Very soon.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, later. That was fun.
It was
a little experiment.
I like it. I like it a lot.
We'll definitely do it again.
We want some more people to get on, and maybe. You know, next time around, we'll narrow it down to a topic, so this way we can keep everybody on one topic. And
that's actually a great idea, Dr. G. I like that idea very much. I think the next time we do it, I think maybe we'll keep Joel Barnhart on. Maybe we'll do a little postseason baseball discussion. Maybe we'll fire up some discussion on that. But I want to thank our callers. I like the sound of that. It's a long time since you and I have been able to say that.
I love it.
And I also want to thank, of course, Joel Barnhart for joining us. Next show, episode 13, will be our NFL preview, and I'm hoping to get on a guy that used to join us, Justin and I, when we did the NFL preview on the Actual Place to Be podcast, but of course we've expanded. I'm not going to say who it is, but we will definitely have someone on. And we're going to have a Place to Be Extra Point special in between. I'm going to sit down with Todd Gessling, and we're going to talk about the college football season, because we have two, obviously, college and pro football starting up in a month. So him and I will sit down and we'll talk about the upcoming college football season. So, for Joel Barnhart and our great callers, and for you, Doctor, I'm Scott Criscola. You've hit the extra point. Go eat some cutlets from some borough. Staten Island, maybe.
Forget about it.
Talk to you in 2 weeks.
See ya.
I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Closing time. Time for you to go out to the places you will be from. Closing time. This room won't be open till your brothers or your sisters. Jackets, move it to the exits. I hope you have found a friend. Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Yeah. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.